Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lindsay W. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Houston, Texas. Today is Thursday, March 14th, 2024. And today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are in the chapter Bill's Story on page 9. The second paragraph, beginning, I pushed a drink across the table, through three paragraphs, ending, I've got religion. And we will be commenting on those three paragraphs. Today's readers are, for the 12 steps, Joni C, 12 traditions, Cassie B, and then the readers of the text are Nancy C, Krista F, and Rick J is our backup. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Reva P. Our second hour host is Ann A. And then Robin P. will have announcements for us. The reference numbers for yesterday, Wednesday, March 13th, are as follows. The 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,218. That is 21218. And then the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,223, 21223. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, every group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Joni C. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning, this is Joni C., gratefully recovered but not cured from Minnesota. Here are the steps we took which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you so much, Joni. And I will now ask Cassie B. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, Cassie B., compulsive overeater in Ohio. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. do. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thank you.
Thank you, Cassie. All right, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. So today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in Bill's story on page 9, the second paragraph that begins, I pushed a drink across the table, through 3 paragraphs, ending, I've got religion. And I will now ask Nancy C. to begin reading. Good morning.
Morning, Lindsay. Thank you for your service. This is Nancy C., living in a state of recovery this morning in Ann Arbor, Michigan. I pushed a drink across the table. He refused it. Disappointed but curious, I wondered what had gotten into the fellow. He wasn't himself. Come on, what's this about? I queried. He looked straight at me, simply but smilingly. He said, I've got religion. Oh, boy, this can go a whole different way. This is a story of my life. How many times did I push cake at somebody and have them go, no, I'm not going to eat it because they've got religion. They're on some diet of some sort. And I'm curious because I want to know what that diet is because they're not themselves, right? They're doing something different. How uncomfortable it was to have somebody push something my way when I was on a diet, when I had religion and wasn't eating something that, yeah, I was not myself and I was restless, irritable, and discontent because somebody was eating something I couldn't have. You know, we remember we got all the history about, you know, this was a drinking buddy and somebody not imbibing with me or somebody not eating with me made me feel uncomfortable, but only for a second because I was going to take care of myself. I was going to make sure that I had what I needed. And, you know, as it goes on, still does exactly that. But, you know, the thing that struck out at me this morning was that he wasn't himself. You know what? He was himself for the first time in his life because he finally was living in a state of recovery, where he finally was living in a state of grace and being of service to other people. That's why he was sitting in front of Bill. He was trying to be of service and give away what he was so freely given by finding this program. I'm not so sure that I would tell people that I had religion. You know, I remember when I first got into recovery, when people would ask me, because physically I looked different, what I was doing, I didn't want to tell anybody. Overeaters Anonymous, I'm embarrassed. You know, I have an eating problem. Today, I let people know that. You know, it's my religion. It's important to me today to let people know how I found a new way of living. But the thing is, again, it's not the drink that got pushed across the table. It's not the cake that got pushed across the table that has changed me. I've been transformed internally, which exudes outside. Yes, I have a physical change, but how I present myself to the world changes, and people notice that. Bill noticed that. He wasn't sure what it was, but he knew it was different. My religion today is a spiritual one. It's not, you know, the sitting in a church and getting holy smoke put on you or something, but it is personal to me, and it's just a power greater than myself that I choose to call God that has really transformed my life into a place where I can give this to other people who sit across the table from me. I'm really grateful for everyone on this line who has helped me when I have wanted to push cake across the table at somebody else to tell me that they've got religion and there's a different way to live. And I'm glad that I found it through the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. And with that, I pass. I can't wait to hear what other people have to say about these paragraphs. Thanks, Lindsay.
Thank you so much, Nancy, for getting us started. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So I will take a list of names of folks that want to share. Please just give me your first name and then the first initial of your last name. Who would like to share this morning?
Tina S.
Sigrid F.
Tina. Melissa C.
Robin P. in Costa Rica.
Ginger C.
All right, I've got Tina, Sigrid, Melissa, Robin, and Ginger. Anyone else want to get in on this first group?
Lisa O.
Okay, Liz E, UK.
Gotcha, Liz. All right, so here's who I have. I've got Tina S, Sigrid S, Melissa C, Robin P, Ginger C, Lisa O, and Liz E. So let's get started with that lineup. If everyone except Tina S would please star one to mute. And Tina, please share with us.
Thanks so much, Lindsay. Tina S, recovered compulsive eater, anorexic in Florida. Wow. What a great share. Thanks so much. I could relate to everything that was just shared. And, you know, I too, you know, I never really ate around people. So I wasn't the one. Well, you know, I did push cake across the table or anything across the table. So I thought I would live vicariously through somebody else eating. I can remember, you know, with my dad, like my mother would be in the hospital and I'd bake him cakes and fudge and all this kind of stuff. Sorry, talked about food. But I just, you know, I was always on a diet, you know, so I just wanted to, you know, see him eat it, you know, and thinking that that would make him happy because those were things that made me happy or so I thought, you know. But what I could really relate to was, you know, when I was on the diet or I was, you know, I don't really, not a fan of the word religion, you know, even though I was brought up in one, you know, today, and I love that it was talked about, you know, I've had a spiritual awakening. I have a power greater than myself that equips me well so that when somebody does that, I can say, no, thank you. That's not for me, you know. And but there was a very long time where I was just, you know, white knuckling it when people would offer me stuff and I would say, no, I'm on a diet, you know. That's the deal. And I also love, you know, I don't mean to crosstalk, but it is about the transformation from the inside out. You know, I too look different physically, but what mostly attracts people is who I am. you know, good or bad, you know, is who I am. And I am a different person today. I'm a different person through the 12 steps and a transformation. Same person, you know, I wouldn't be attractive anywhere, you know, and I wouldn't be able to give this thing away because nobody would want what I would have, you know, and today that's a different story. So I too am looking forward to listening to more shares, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Tina S. from Florida. And then next up is Sigrid F. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Sigrid F. in Boca Raton, Florida, recovered in Boca Raton, Florida. Yeah, thank you for hearing me. Thank you for your service this morning. Yeah, these paragraphs are meaningful, right? You know, I can really identify with being on a diet and not being able to take what it was. And I can also identify with the judging of somebody else who was on a diet if I wasn't, right? So me thinking I was, you know, the insecurity of somebody else who is, for whatever reason, abstaining from their food or drink of choice, their substance of choice. And I love that, you know, come, what's this all about, right? He doesn't understand, but it's his first real experience with seeing somebody who has changed, seeing someone like him who has changed and had a spiritual awakening. And while he doesn't much like the answer, he surely is attracted. He can see the difference. And I think the same for me. I'm very, very grateful. People can see. And when I first went to the rooms, I could see the people who were calm. They were calm. There were a lot of people who weren't calm in those meetings I went to. But there were people who were just calm, letting the flurry go on around them, but they were still peaceful and it didn't faze them. And that was attractive. That was something amazing. I think it took me a long time. You know, at first I identified with the people who were still flurrying around, and it took me some time to realize, wait a minute. Do I want someone that's like me, crazy, still running around, or do I want somebody in my life who has something different and that I want? So with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you, Sigrid S. from Florida. And then next up is Melissa C., followed by Robin P. Good morning, Melissa.
Hey, good morning. Thanks so much, Lindsay, for your service this morning. I'm Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm in New York. And, you know, I can learn so much by how Abby is there carrying the message. You know, he has a message for his carrying, that he shows up and he looks different. He can, you know, Bill can see that it's not just on the, that, you know, it's not just on the outside, but there's something different about him. His eyes are different. You know, he's a glow. And then when he's asked, you know, what is this about? What I think is so powerful is he's giving credit where credit is due. And, you know, I know, like, for myself, I've done everything, you know, I've done everything. And in the past, you know, I've done all kinds of programs and all sorts of things. And ultimately, being more powerful myself, like I had now new power to do something that I didn't have before. And that this program is very different, this recovery, you know, this is, I've got religion. Well, what is religion? It's a belief in a power, you know, God. It's belief in a power greater than yourself. And it's the structure and the way that we live our lives. And, yeah, this is my religion. This is, you know, when I'm asked, like, what is it that you did? You know, I'm the recipient. That's what I tell people. I've received a miracle that this came from a relationship with God, and that it's available for anybody who surrenders and you know, and is looking to build a relationship with God. And, you know, the we never apologize for God. And I think, you know, that's something that I used to get, like, nervous about. Like, how am I going to share that? But I think that if you've received a miracle, it's a responsibility to tell what that miracle was. It would be very easy for me to talk about my food plan when people say, like, oh, because you eat so healthy, that's why you seem different. And, yeah, that's a piece of it. You know, definitely putting down my alcoholic food helped me, cleared me up. But the real change that's occurred in me is that I've experienced a miracle. And that's what this program is all about. These 12 steps are about being different, having a change that comes from something. I didn't change me. Eddie didn't change himself. You know, he was changed by something greater than himself. When you show up and you look healthy and you sound clear, then when you do speak about God or speak about a spiritual experience, there's some depth and weight behind that. And thanks for that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Melissa C. in New York. And the next up is Robin P., followed by Ginger C. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning. Thanks so much for your service, Lindsay. I'm Robin P., and I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. And I'm just so grateful to be in Ebby these days, you know. And I socialize a lot here. There are a lot of expats here, and there's, you know, a lot of people came here and retired. And so we're very social here, which is the opposite of the way I was when I was in the disease. I was just alone with the food. And, you know, people can see I eat very differently than they do. And I don't drink. I'm sober, and which is literally the opposite of most people here. And, you know, and I'm an organic gluten-free vegan. And so going out to eat, being a gluten-free vegan, wow, that's a whole different experience. And things come up, and you can see and feel, and they can sense the difference. You know, food used to be my poison, and my food is my medicine today. To the best of my ability, and I am so grateful for that. And also, people always comment that I have so much light and joy, and that's literally the opposite of the way I was in that I was in the disease. I was so depressed, wanting to die, asking God every day, "Could you just let me come home?" You know, and now I love living. I'm so grateful. It's literally a miracle. I feel like I am a walking miracle along with all of you who are recovered today. And it's just not even the same life. And then to be able to share it with others, it's just such a blessing and literally a gift from God. And I you know, I've been on both sides of that table as well. And I'm so grateful to be on every side of that table and not on Bill's, because it was literally hell. And I'm so grateful to be rocketed into the fourth dimension. And with that, I don't know if you guys can hear, but the howler monkeys are howling in the background today as I'm hearing, and I always love hearing them. Have a really blessed day.
Thank you, Robin P. in Costa Rica. And now we will go to Ginger C. Good morning, Ginger.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. I am Ginger C., a real compulsive overeater. A little jealous of the last share. Costa Rica and monkeys, that sounds like a lot of fun. Anyway, just so grateful. Like, thank you, God, again, doing for me what I absolutely don't do to be on this line. I have not been on Vision for many, many months. And this morning I got up early because God has plans for me. And I texted my daughter, who's in Louisville, Kentucky, 2 hours difference, at 4:50 a.m., and told her good morning and that I loved her. And she said, "Why are you awake?" And I said, "I need to get back to my daily disciplines." Because I will tell you, with this horrible relapse I've been in almost 4 years now, thank God today I'm not eating, it all began when I stopped doing what works. We know it works, but it is a day at a time. It's a minute at a time, and I cannot stop moving. And I cannot stop the action components of this program. And in COVID, I stopped. I slept in, I missed my early morning meditation, my exercise, my discipline, my reading, most importantly, to begin my day on 86 to 88, all of it went out the door. And guess what came back in? Of course, the bite. So I loved what we read this morning, and he refused it. And that's not my message as a relapser. I eat every bite. You push it my way, I'm going to take it. And the gift of every beautiful bite is I know this program's about surrender, but I don't surrender. That's a form of control. The food, the bites, surrender you. The pain presses in and presses on and gets deeper and darker, and I had no idea how bad bottoms could go. And I'll promise you, for those that are recovered, that have a great message every morning on this line, there's a bottom below the bottom you know. So my message is don't give away this gift. If you've got it today and you're feeling freedom from food, thank God. Thank God. Because the nightmare of eating is hell. And where it takes to you, and it's just unbelievable, the pain that I've gone through. But again, what's most important is he refused it. And that's where my message, again, especially for the relapser. You know, we hear a lot of great message on Vision for You, and I'm grateful for that because we're all into the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. But the reality is many more are outside the door in hell, and they're not feeling the freedom. But it all begins, if you don't ingest that alcoholic ingredient, you've got hope and you've got a chance. And he refused it. So now today with food, like I did with booze 33 years ago, don't eat no matter what. Just like I did with the drink, ginger, you start with today and you don't take that sip no matter what. And I held that with Alcoholics Anonymous. I have not been that way in Overeaters Anonymous. But with God's grace, hopefully the pain of the research I've been in, today is a new beginning. And I have never felt this in Overeaters Anonymous, but I'm so broken and so beaten. So I pray to stay, and I pray you all stay and continue, because you're going to relapse when you stop doing what works. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Ginger C. And where are you calling from this morning?
I am in Colorado.
Thank you. All right. Next up is Lisa O, followed by Liz E. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. My name is Lisa O, and I'm calling from Western Massachusetts, and I am a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And I just wanted to share how my program has evolved over these past 5 years in relation to talking to people, to share my story. You know, in the beginning, I used to hide. I'd eat ahead of time or after, hide the scale, you know, all those things. And then I slowly would say, well, I'm working with a nutritionist. And then I would say, you know, I've got health issues. And this is, you know, the way I have to eat. And, you know, I used to be so worried about what everybody would think, what they would say about me. They would be talking about me. But I've come to learn some of my business, what anybody thinks or what they say about me. And so I would slowly have more confidence over the years and just say, yeah, this is how I eat. My mother-in-law, who was always on me about my food over the years, 3 years into the program, she came to visit, and we were sitting down at the first meal together, and she goes, you're still eating like that? And I just looked at her and smiled and simply said, yes, yes, I am. You know, people used to say how awful this was, how sad for me because I didn't get to eat any desserts or any sweets or anything like that anymore. Well, let me tell you, the joke is on them because I'm not missing out on anything. In fact, because I don't eat those things anymore that awaken my allergy, I have the most beautiful life. I have this wonderful relationship with God. I'm showing up. I'm present for this life that I've been blessed to have. You know, and now, going on 5 years, thank you, God, I'm able to share my story with people. And I talk about the allergy, and I talk about this mental twist. You know, when those situations present themselves, I just share it. And it's kind of freeing as well, just to be able to share that. And I have to share it. I've been given this great gift, so I have to share it. So thank you all for being on the line. Thank you for letting me share. Have a great day.
Thank you, Lisa O. from Massachusetts. And then Liz E. from the UK. You're up next.
Good morning, Liz E for Elegant in the UK. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and I'm also available for sponsoring. Thank you for hearing my voice. These words, every word in this book is just utterly amazing. And if you've not pressed *1, just do it. We have to do this and we have to show up. Every word that we speak is perfect. God will give you the words you need. And because I don't really know what I'm going to say today, but I used to push food upon people because I felt that it was the kind and caring thing to do. And people felt overwhelmed by the amount of food that I would over persuade people to eat. And of course, that was really about me justifying my crazy eating. And for me to legitimize the crazy way that I ate enormous amounts of food. And, you know, I would even lace it with jokes like, you know, when we're not on rations now and things like that, to kind of make people feel bad and accept what I believed was generosity, but it was actually manipulation, because I needed you to eat as much as I did for me to feel comfortable. And when people refused it, I was a bit, you know, disappointed and cute and like, what do you mean? You don't want a fourth cake or whatever it was. And so, but then also what this is referring to is what recovery looks like, people who are recovered. And when I really did meet many, many recovered fellows, it brought a new meaning and a new understanding to what recovery means. So it's about sobriety around food. It's about neutrality. And that I have today, for which I am so, so, so grateful. And that I have today because of all of you beautiful people, and most importantly, my relationship with God. And I did wonder what was in these people that were recovered. And I guess that is something I need today. I need to be around all of you recovered and hearing today what that sounds like, what that feels like, what that smells like, what that tastes like. And I need, because today is day one for me. And, you know, I got up a little earlier than some of you, so I've got a few more hours abstinence today ahead of you, but that's it. Every day is day one for me. I see that in, you know, in recovered people. I see it, and that's what I want. Anyway, I will wind up there and pass. Thanks a million. Love to hear from anybody. Bye.
Thank you, Liz E. from the UK. So before I take another lineup, just reminding everyone where we are this morning. We are in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in Bill's story on page 9, the second paragraph beginning. I pushed a drink across the table through 3 paragraphs ending, I've got religion. So who else would like to share on these paragraphs this morning?
Jack,
can I hear you, Florida? Manchester?
Okay, I heard Rita Q, and then I heard a lot of other people that couldn't make out the names. I know I heard a gentleman's voice.
Bonnie B.
Jack W.
Chris G. Elise
N. Okay, I'll tell you who I heard. Rita Q, Keith B, Bonnie B, Jen A, Jack W, Elise N, and Chris J or G. I'm not sure, but I'll have you confirm. Who else? One more person at least.
Seema P.
Say that first name one more time.
Seema, S-E-M-A.
Gotcha, Seema. All right, let's go with that lineup. So we'll start with Rita Q, followed by Pete C. Good morning, Rita.
Hi, Lindsay. Thanks for your service today. My name is Rita Q, a recovered, not cured, compulsive overeater. I just wanted to bring up what this paragraph always brings up for me is the selfishness of the disease. It's just the sheer, you know, I pushed a drink across the table. He's just wanting him to, you know, I want to go back to the old days of how we used to drink. For me, it was eating. And I used to do that to my husband. I cringe when I think about it now. But if we go out for dinner, if we used to go out for dinner, I would always be like, I would interrogate him CIA style as to why he wasn't having dessert. It would be like, what do you mean you're not having dessert? What do you mean you're full? Why won't you have it? We'll share it. That was always like, we were sharing it on a table that only where the dessert came my way. There was no other way, you know. And I do love what somebody else had shared as well. I don't want to cross share, but the whole thing is credit where credit's due, you know. It's one of the few lines in the book I don't actually like. I've got religion. For me, I would say I've got faith. It was a belief and a faith. When it came to faith, it was a belief first that something outside of myself could do this for me. And, you know, he's saying this, and it's kind of like when I lost a lot of weight the first time before the big relapse, I dropped a lot of weight really quickly. I lost 140 pounds, I think it was, very suddenly. And people thought I had the Holy Grail. There was something that I'd done, some Indiana Jones quest to find what it was that I lost, you know. And I was quite evangelical about OA. But you could see the minute you mention a God thing or a higher power, people just glaze over. But they knew it worked. Because I was different. I was bodily and mentally different, you know, in a positive way. So that, for me, I always think in this, I just think of Bill Shear's selfishness, because I was exactly the same. And, you know, I bought and baked and did everything for people. When I wasn't eating, I wanted them to eat so that I felt better about myself. It was all insane. I mean, that's insane behavior when I look back, but I didn't know any better. And now I wake up every morning, you know, I say to God, I'm a compulsive overeater, take this day from me. And by the grace of God, I'm over 4.5 years recovered. And I'm so grateful for everything that's brought and the clarity. And I was reading Bill's story with the sponsor yesterday. And I just thought, this is amazing. I don't know how it works, but it works. Trying to explain it to somebody just sounds like absolute crazy science, but it works. So I'm just really, really glad that I no longer have to push my drug on people. And I can allow people to be who they are because I get my direction from God now. I don't need others to feel good about myself. And that's a miracle in itself. So with that, I am just really grateful to be here. And thanks for everybody on the line. And I'm looking forward to hearing others. And I'll pass. Thanks, Lindsay.
Thank you so much, Rita Q in Manchester in the UK. And next up is Pete B, followed by Bonnie B. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, moderator. Thank you for taking the meeting. You're doing a really great job. My name is Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy. You know, Bill asked Ebby, what happened, right? The same question we often get from people. What did you do? What did you do? And you know what? The answer to that question, the answer to what we do is no different than what anybody would do. Because what we do is we eat less, and we move more. And that works regardless of whether you're a hard eater, a moderate eater, a garden variety, you know, binge eater. What we do is we don't eat as much and we move more. That's the what. See, the question, what differentiates us from what happens is how we do it. Right, because that's not the question. Ebby answered with the how. He didn't answer the answer to what was I stopped drinking. That's why I look this way. But how he went about doing it and how we go about doing it is what's different. So whenever anybody, what happened? How do you know? What did you do? Well, I didn't eat so much and I moved more, and that's why I look. That's why there's a difference. But if you ask me how I do it, I'm going to let you know that I found that I couldn't do it on my own. I found that I didn't have the resources or the capabilities necessary to stop putting food in my mouth. And I turned to a power greater than myself, and I asked it to remove the merciless obsession. And when it was removed, I stopped eating those substances 100%, and I had a spiritual experience by working the 12 steps in a recovery program, right? Because that's the difference. Anybody who's jamming food down their throat uncontrollably and gaining 30, 40 pounds a month, if they stop eating, they're gonna that's gonna evaporate. That's nature, right? But if you have this condition, if I have this condition, I found out that, you know, just like stopping, like other people stop, I couldn't do that. And what I had to do was to turn to a power greater than myself to remove this merciless obsession. And then I had a spiritual experience as a result of working the steps. That's how we do it is different. What we do is the same as anybody else that's having a problem. You know, the majority of the society is overweight, right? You know, you stand out if you're not anymore. It's the norm to be overweight, right? So how we go about doing it is the difference. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Pete V. And next up, Bonnie B. Good morning, Bonnie.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for your service, Bonnie B. Living in the state of Florida and gratefully recovered for the next 24 hours by the grace of my God. The shares have been overwhelmingly amazing day in and day out, but today also. So what stuck out to me is the fact that, he looked straight at me. This is eye to eye. He looked straight at me. When I think about, me connecting with people or people connecting with me, there has to be that intentionality, right? There has to be that thing on the inside that says, what is it? Like, what is it? And then the simply, but then smiling, the answer. And the answer, as so many have said, for me isn't, let me tell you about the list that I do. Because that's how I came into this program. I came into this program thinking if you just give me the list and I check off the list, then I'm good. But the list isn't the deal. The list has never gotten me recovered, and it will never keep me recovered. I do the things on the list, the things that most of us do, right, so that I can fit myself to be of maximum service to God and other people. I don't have a built-in weigher, as my husband does, or our children, so I do weigh and measure my food. But I don't do it to get the number on the scale where I want it to be. I get it so I can align myself with my God, so that I can stay emotionally sober today, and then hopefully, by the grace of God, with a lot of love and kindness, share my story with others. Because as so many others have said, if God doesn't do it, it's not going to happen. If I could have done this on my own, I would not be here. I wouldn't be here. And Lord knows, along with my family, here are some of the methods she's tried. I have tried a whole lot of things, and I have put a lot of cash on the table, and I can't and couldn't do it, but God can. So, the terminology that you use, whatever it is, I try to match people. I try to, meet people where they're at, right? Bottom line, in the end, if you don't connect to something that's bigger than you, and I happen to call it my God, you don't have a chance. Not if you have the same DNA I have. I take most people to the back of the book on page 427 where it says, if you're an apple, you can be the best apple you can be, but you can't be an orange. And I explain, I have a different DNA. It's not good, it's not bad, I just need a different solution. And my solution is never going to be what most people use. It's found in this book. And it's tethering myself to what I consider to be my God and allowing Him to do for me today, just for today, do for myself. And when I invite Him in, He does it. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks so much for allowing me to share, and blessings to everyone.
Thank you, Bonnie B. in Florida. And the next up is Jen A., followed by Jack W. Good morning, Jen.
Hey, good morning, Lindsay. Thanks so much for moderating today. I love hearing you on the line. You're a breath of fresh air. Wow, what an awesome freaking meeting. I'm so grateful to be here with all of you guys, like coast to coast, continent to continent, hearing my friends all around the United States and the world, and then, my friend here in Colorado. What a gift this program is, and what a gift Eddie was to Bill. And, when we went back east for the Vision Conference in 2019, a group of us traveled and sat at that kitchen table. And I have pictures with the man who shared the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous with me. And we're smiling and grinning. And it's a beautiful memory because we got to be right there where it happened, right at that kitchen table. And I love today in this paragraph, the word for me that sticks out is curious. you know, I didn't come to Overeaters Anonymous as like another, I don't know. I just got there. God knew a girl like me needed a program, 12-step recovery, so that I could live life abundantly today. And curiosity got me into the rooms. No, I was desperate to get into the rooms. So welcome to the newcomer who's here today, who's desperate. Stick around, you know, and if you're coming back, we are here for you. Because, you know, I just remember seeing that man across the room from me and in those OA meetings, and he kept showing up and I kept showing up. And I was just curious, why was there something different about him? How come when he swam across the lake, he was like just smooth, like a duck sailing across the water? But yet when I talked to him, he always talked about these actions he took and the things that he did. Those were his feet underneath the water propelling him. Calm on the top, the water ran down his back. He didn't get too furious, but he had a way and a method and solution that worked for him. That curiosity of that man across the room from me is what kept me coming back, and he became my sponsor. You know, I can tell you that's been a hell of a week this week. I got a call that my ex-husband was rushed to the emergency room, and he had had a stroke, and his wife was in Arizona. And if you know my story, the last 6-7 years in recovery, it's been a long restoration process with them. And she called me first and said, I can't be there. Can you be there for him? And there I was in the hospital with my ex-husband being an advocate for him today. And it's so hard to tell this story without crying, you know? And God is just so good. If I could tell you all the ways that he showed up for me this week at work with coworkers and even with hard face-to-face conversations with my boss on my one-to-one this week. You know, I might be recovered, but I'm not perfect. I'm not cured. And God's still working on me. But I love that he gets to work through me through the work with others that I do. And for every call that I've gotten or returned this week, every 10 step I've done or taken, God's continued to show me and grow me in a new and amazing way. Thank God for this 12-step recovery. I know I say God a lot, but when I came in here, it was HP or it was that thing or I don't know what. But today, there's something bigger than me, and it's in charge, and it's not me. So just keep sticking around, keep coming back, and please reach out. My name is Jen A. I'm recovered from Colorado. I'm an available sponsor. Thanks, Lindsay, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Jen A. in Colorado. And then next up is Jack W., followed by Elise N. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning. I'm Jack W. I'm a compulsive overeater, and thank you, ma'am, so much for your service. And, yeah, I was an amazing meeting this morning, and I just Googled, did Abby drink again in AA? And what came up was he stayed sober for 2 years and was in and out of AA. And I was thinking a podcast I heard, well, not, I was on a meeting and somebody qualified and they said, ingesting the substances, the behaviors, the red light foods, that it's so important that we can't put those in our system. And about when I quit drinking 35 years ago, there were some people that were drinking near beer. And I'm sure it had a little alcohol in it. So it's just so cunning and baffling, this ism we have with the ingredient these companies put in stuff. I heard somebody share about a fast food company coating their hamburger glucose. You know, my sponsor, when I found a vision for you, sponsor, when I found a vision for you, it was the same story. I saw a lady, she had the glow. She was from Wellington. We were on a Herb K book study, and I knew she had found it in her. I heard it in her. And I said, you know what? I've got to make another tribe, OA fellowships. And I started listening to a vision for you. First day, I wrote down the sponsor who said he was available at 10 minutes to 9, and I called him. He said, call me tomorrow. I think I can help you. And he had the same issue I had. I had been eating yogurt, oatmeal, and fresh fruit. And he said the lactose in the yogurt, the high carbs in the and the natural sugar in the fresh fruit might be giving you a problem, triggering that phenomenon of craving. Who would have ever known? They gave me plain yogurt in treatment. And, so it's just so important, you know. I think Roland Hazard told Ebby about it. He was in and out of sanitariums. He went to Switzerland to try to find the answer. And Carl Jung told him that it needed a spiritual, you know, a complete psychic change. And it's just by the mercy of God, you know, I have this grace. And just for today, I really need to watch what I ingest and not put that in my system.
That's time.
Thank you so much. I'll end there. Great meeting.
Thank you, Jack W. Where are you calling from?
Florida.
W from Florida. All right, next up is Elise N, followed by Chris J, or G, we'll see. Elise, good morning.
Hi, this is Elise N on the list. I'm from Passaic, New Jersey. Right now I'm living in Boca Raton, Florida. I guess I was listening to this and I was thinking about, I'm going to visit my family today, and I come from a family, I would say we're all compulsive eaters, some less, some more. I'm probably the more, because I know I went beyond that. It talks in the book about 10% of the people that just, you know, whatever percent of alcoholics, and I call like a foodaholic or food addict, that went beyond, you know, what I could do on my own. I couldn't stop on my own. And I guess I'm putting a, you know, I'm say to anyone here that's new or in relapse to check me out there. I have the, you know, I have a PhD here in relapse. I've been in program over 30 years, and I have about over a year of, you know, recovery. And I've lost like 75 pounds this year, which I don't usually talk about, but for a newcomer, I think it's important. And I'm only 5'1", and I was up to 374 pounds. But, and I also, and I would say emotionally suffering so much, you know, from anxiety and sadness and fear and all these things that, you know, talk about in the steps. And those things, you know, thank God, you know, for today have been lifted, even though I still don't have the job that I want. You know, I still, you know, don't know, you know, there's still some financial insecurity. The difference is there's no fear of financial insecurity. So the gains in this program are much, much more than the food. And I know when I came in, I didn't come in here to get spiritual. I mean, if I'm 374 pounds at 5'1", I didn't come in here to get spiritual. You know, I mean, I needed to lose weight, and I had cellulitis in my leg at one point. I nearly lost my leg. I needed to have a healthy body, and I needed to become healthy, and physically. But I learned in this program that my food was just a symptom of the emotions that I was eating over. And then once I would ingest the foods into my body that I had an allergy to, meaning I had a desire, you know, a craving for, I couldn't stop. So it just added to my problem. Whatever it was that was on my mind that I was upset about, it just added to that. And all of a sudden I was thinking about that and not
That's
the problem.
Time.
Thanks for listening, and give me a call if you're suffering. Thank you.
Thank you, Elise N. in New Jersey. And then Chris, we have time for a one-minute share if you'd like to take it, and then Seema P, hopefully you can stay on and share in the second hour.
Yes,
so
I'll
good morning,
it.
Chris. Great.
Good morning. Thank
Please share
you.
With us.
This is Chris G. I'm in Tennessee, and I am a compulsive overeater. And this part of the story, Bill's story, always makes me think of alcoholics do what alcoholics do. And this is what alcoholics do. They push it across the table and say, drink it. You know, drink with me. Let's have a party. Very self-centered, very selfish. It is. And I am and can be still. And I have to give to God the credit for everything good that happens. Because anything good that happens is of God. So I wouldn't say I've got religion to somebody. I wouldn't say I've got religion. But if somebody wants to hear my story, it might be good and bad. It might be crooked. It was zigzag. It was up and down. But it works. It really does. And I think that might be a minute maybe. So I'm going to pass. Alcoholics do what alcoholics do. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Chris G. from Tennessee. And thank you to everyone who shared this morning. Thank you to everyone on Team Thursday for your service. And please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Thursday, March 14th, is 21,225. That is 21225. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Krista F. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Good morning, Krista.
Good morning, Lindsay. Thank you. Thank you to everyone for your shares. My name is Krista F. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Georgia. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right. And great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until